Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City Chef. Woo!
Connecticut.
Pick up this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped outside to the cookout. Timeless is alive. Sports City, I am feeling some type of way. Welcome to Sports City Chef Show. The calling number is 929-477-2759. We got you locked and loaded for the next 2 hours or so here with the chefs. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with Sports City. I got some of my counterparts, if you will. These guys are on the other side of the fence, you know, a.k.a. the villain himself falling out of the Connecticut region. Barry, welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Villain, King Ghidra, take me to your leader. Quick to claim that he's no snake like me either. What up, what up? Power 103 Radio in the house. Sports City Chef, the call is cookout. The villain is in the house. I'm ready to destruct maximum damage. About to destroy this city. What's up, brother?
You know, doing pretty good. You know, this blazer is off my back, so I got my cape on, red boots. You know, I love the color blue. You already know how this go down. And his sidekick himself, they know him as Sirius, a.k.a. this is Aaron Simmons falling out of the 412, the 703, the 123, and the 456. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Yo, fellas, man, it's your boy Sirius, man. Such a pleasure to be here with you guys on another edition of Sports City Chefs, man. We got a lot to get into. Let's get to work.
Okay. And I think he may be here. Just let me know. Calling out of the 970 area code. We got Eric, a.k.a. Big Easy. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Great this evening. Excited to be here at the cookout. Let's get it started.
Okay, so as you know, the frenzy in the NFL is starting. A lot of signings are happening. And this is the cookout, so a lot of stuff is going to come to us as normal and as usual. I can't wait to get to some of the teams, but we are going to go over the moves that have been made within the league. I'll let Aaron, a.k.a. Sirius, set this thing off. Please address the moves that have been made within the league.
All right, so I'm not going to run down all of them because we'll be here for the whole 2 hours, but a couple of movements of some note that we need to pay attention to. First of all, Patrick Peterson agreeing to a one-year $10 million deal with the Minnesota Vikings. We got Curtis Samuel, former Carolina Panther, agreeing to a deal with the Washington football teams. We got the Seattle Seahawks agreeing to a deal with tight end, formerly of the L.A. Rams, Gerald Everett. We got somebody staying at home, staying where he was at, man. A cornerback, Mr. Lewis from the Dallas Cowboys, agreeing to a three-year $16.5 million deal. We got a new movement. We got a former Cleveland Brown defensive back, Tyvere Thomas, agreeing to a two-year deal with Houston Texans. Let's see, man. I mean, it's crazy around the league right now, man. Obviously, the New England Patriots have made some significant moves as of late, picking up Hunter Henry, Matt Judon, formerly of the Baltimore Ravens. We got Marvin Jones, former Detroit Lion, agreeing to a deal. Andy Dalton agreeing to a deal to go to the Chicago Bears. There's a lot going on right now. We got some stuff pending. We got a possible Kenny Golladay fighting to a possible New York Giants team. That's not official yet. They're just talks, rumors, speculations. We got a couple other receivers that are potentially on the move. A.J. Green signed with the Arizona Cardinals. It's crazy, man. It's crazy, man. We can run down that and see, how you guys feel about that. And I'm going to keep you guys abreast if anything comes in during the show.
Okay, so, Brad, from what you've heard, I mean, what excites you, what you're thinking about? Question marks on some of the moves that have been made across the board.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of moves. There was more there was some re-signings that happened. Trent Williams getting the largest contract for an offensive lineman ever, 6 years, $138 million, I think it was, boys. So annual $23 million a year. That's a massive signing for one of the best tackles in the game. That one stood out to me. Aaron alluded to A.J. Green taking a one-year deal after, having some injury-plagued seasons in Cincinnati, but undoubtedly one of the better receivers when healthy, taking a deal to go to Arizona. I like what they did. Bud Dupree going to Tennessee was another big sign. I know that hurt serious. Sorry, brother, I had to bring that up. But that was another big signing. I after coming off a knee injury, wasn't sure if he was going to get the contract that he wanted, but it looked like the Titans are willing to pay it because they actually let a couple guys. And I also liked Corey Davis going to the Jets, giving them the Jets what they need on the outside. So those are the moves that kind of stood out to me. There's a lot of different moves that were pretty darn good. Obviously, the Patriots woke up this year. But, Sirius brought it up, Patrick Peterson signing a one-year deal. I mentioned I thought he might, Green Bay might be able to fit him in with a lower contract, but, it looks like Minnesota got him there for $10 million, so he took the money. So just a lot of interesting moves, TP, that, I don't know if any move really makes a team drastically better or one move, but I think moves that teams keeping their guys like Shaquille Barrett and Trent Williams are significant enough just to keep the guys they have in place, especially with a cap that was lower this year.
Okay, Eric, any of the moves that have been mentioned that may have caught your eye, if there's some that he hasn't discussed, please elaborate to some of them as well across the board in the NFL.
The Patrick Peterson going to Minnesota is kind of a shocking to me because Arizona has a pretty good defense. They just added J.J. Watt. So I was thinking they were going to try to keep him, but he ends up going to Minnesota. So that's a big pickup from them. But I'm gonna go right back to San Francisco because here's a team that was, supposedly, they're not going to be able to make some big moves because of their salary cap. And they were able to bring back three huge key pieces, exceeding expectations with Trent Williams, the six-year historic deal, pretty much the best tackle in football right now. And then another huge signing was bringing back the Juice, Kyle Juszczyk, the fullback for 5 years. They were also able to re-sign Jason Verrett, too, who had a really good season and returned to his Pro Bowl caliber self last year. So that's what stuck out for me. The Niners, barring injury, are going to be one of the top teams in the NFC next year. So we'll see if Garoppolo is able to be on the field. They're also exploring options at quarterback still, so we'll see what happens there. And then they're also trying to get Alex Mack,
the center from the Atlanta Falcons. So if they're able to do that, that'll set them up nicely with a good offensive line. They got Mozart and Wilson Jr. as their running backs, really good running back tandem. So, you know, the future looks bright over there. And that's what stuck out pretty big for me.
I think to
that
me,
Alex
Mack
deal is done. Sorry, I'm sorry, TP. I really apologize. That Alex Mack deal is done. It looks like he is going to the 49ers. So I just wanted to put
that out.
Okay,
yeah. So that's huge for them to be able to sign those four guys when they were predicted not to be able to bring a bunch of people back and go after people because of the salary cap. They were able to get these players to come and work out deals that, you know, kept them under the cap. So, I think that's huge for the 49ers, especially if Garoppolo can remain healthy and he can perform at a high level. This team's going to be extremely dangerous next year. So that's good news that they got Alex Mack. That deal was done. So, they got a really good offensive line now, folks.
I think the Hunter Henry situation in New England is actually big because they didn't have a tight end. Mm-hmm. Patriots are going to war with no tight end and definitely no playmakers in the field for the receiver position. So they're actually going to build around him and give Hunter Henry that exclusive responsibility of being a tight end without a cavalry of them that he had to deal with the Chargers. So I do like this, especially with them to pull in Cam for another year. I want to see how y'all feel about the Cam Newton signing because they brought him back for another year for $14 million. That's interesting in itself if he can actually get some good play with the playmaker that he has outside of them. It's crucial. I want to see how that works out. Another move, I want to see how A.J. Green does look with the Cardinals or alongside D-Hop. Both of these receivers coming from different teams and coming to the Arizona Cardinals and trying to make this offense as potent as possible, at least in the receiver game, because they do have a good cavalry of receivers across the board, especially what they were able to do up against a real wounded Cowboy team where you've seen everybody going to war at that Cowboy defense. So it's like they have the potential with Kirk. They have Hopkins. They also have A.J. Green. I'm just hoping that A.J. Green has a little bit left in the tank to help Kyler Murray turn the corner in that NFC West, because to me, the NFC West is up for grabs. I know everybody's high on L.A. with Stafford coming there, and depending on what Seattle does with Russell Wilson, but with them pulling in a receiver of his caliber, if A.J. could just feed off a hop a little bit, this can actually work out well for the Arizona Cardinals. I want to see how that works out altogether. But the Williams signing, the highest paid offensive tackle that we have ever seen, is crucial and critical. But I just want to see him out there to be able to perform, because he's had a questionable past while he was out here on the East Coast playing with Washington. And I think he's more like namesake value. I don't see him dominating the corner, but we'll see. I want to see how a lot of y'all feel about this with him in San Francisco while they're trying to figure out their quarterback issues also. This is all off the fly how they're moving. But
hey,
that's neither here nor
breaking news. The Giants just signed former Vikings defensive lineman Abednego for one-year deal. So the Giants just signed a defensive lineman.
Okay. Well, how do you guys feel about that breaking news signing? I mean, I want to kind of say Barry for last. Serious, I'll let you set this one off first since you've seen that. I mean, North Minnesota's actually been having an okay defense, I mean, as in last season. Your thoughts on this move that they have?
In my opinion, man, this is a spot filler. I really don't, you know, it's a one-year deal. For me, this really doesn't, you know, for lack of a better phrase, blow the skirt up for me as far as somebody to be dealing with. I mean, the biggest issue with the New York Giants really wasn't on defense. I mean, that defense came together, so this is just another plug-and-play guy. Get some rest and some depth to, you know, a rotational type of guy. For me, if I'm a Giants fan, and I'm sure Barry's going to allude to this when it's his turn to talk, but they need weapons on the offensive side of the football. They have been linked to a couple of targets. None of them have landed yet. But we can keep it moving. I did want to come back to your New England Patriot question after Barry gets done talking about his newest addition to his thing.
Okay, Eric, your thoughts on the signing that Siri just mentioned, breaking news of the defensive lineman from Minnesota going to New York, and we do have a caller in queue as well.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a decent pickup. We'll see what they can do. The Giants need a lot of help, so, you know, it's good to see them get a little boost on the defensive side of things. So they need to go and make a splash offensively. I think they need some more weapons on offense, so we'll see what they do in the next coming days and weeks.
Okay, calling out of the 970 area code, what's your name and what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, TP, this is Matt Nasty Fresh from the Underground Sports Connection, Big Easy and I's show. Good to have thanks for having me on.
Definitely. So from what you've heard thus far, I mean, what signing has piqued your interest? Some that we may have mentioned, some that we have missed. I mean, what team do you follow out there in Colorado? Are you a Broncos fan?
Of course, we're a big-time Broncos fan, you know. And I hope hope you guys listen to our show. We called the playoff script perfectly. We called Tom Brady going out for the win, taking it. And, yeah, you know, we're going to get back on the air pretty soon. But you know, like the Broncos, you guys saw what happened last year. It was pretty bad. You know, with hopefully we stick to, you know, we change our game plan a little bit. You know, Elway steps down from president and the general manager. So hopefully that kind of lightens his load a little bit, and so we can have more room on his plate for, you know, signing the right players, and also you know, taking care of business on the corporate side. You know, but yeah, I'm a Bronco fan out here. You know. But, you know, I don't see the Broncos in the script next year either. You know, in my opinion, it's going to boil back down to the Buccaneers, Packers. And I don't know how much you guys are listening to our show, but we kind of stumbled upon a script, if you will, and we noticed that you would see these low-performing sales-wise teams, very unpopular teams making the playoffs this year. And what that did was it boosted jersey sales. It boosted merchandise all around the board. You know, you had the Titans, very, very unpopular team ratings-wise. You know, the Buccaneers especially, they were number 30th or something like that. The Browns, you know, we also would, you know, best for business Browns did. And so what we noticed, TP, was the Goodell and his cronies up in the big office were taking these very, very low rated teams popularity-wise and having them win ball games. And what that did was it boosted their sales. You know, we have a lot of, Eric, Easy and I call them fair weather fans, okay? So basically whoever's winning – they're going to buy the hat. They're going to buy the jersey. And sure as shoot, Brown's merchandise went through the roof last year. The Bucks, Tom Brady, number one selling jersey. And so in a business perspective, it makes sense. I mean, think about if you have a cookie factory, you're selling cookies. Well, say one of your cookies is not selling well. What do you do? Well, you convince the population that that's the best cookie, and so consumers will actually end up buying that cookie. And so, you know, we see this with the Bills. They were another really underperforming team popularity-wise, and you know, you have them win games, and their merchandise sales go up. So basically, you know, I know you guys are talking about, like, you know, the signings that are happening this year, but you know, the best thing to do is really look at this, it's basically an algorithm that they have of the low rated teams popularity-wise, the ones that are getting the least amount of hits on Facebook and social media, they're having these teams win. And a lot of it's coming boiling down to, the 2 minutes. The refs are basically coming up with bogus plays. Remember that the – I don't know if you guys remember that. It was San Diego and the Raiders, right? And the runner – they're okay. Let's just take a reverse. I'll put a picture in your mind. Okay, the Chargers were on the first – or the number – the one-yard line, their own end of the field. And the running back fumbled the ball, and it rolled into the end zone, and a fellow Charger recovered. Well, that should have been a touchdown any day of the week. However, the refs, they came up with some bogus, on-the-spot play that said only the fumbler can advance the ball in the final 2 minutes of the game. I mean, come on, people. What does that even mean? That's absurd. So what we're seeing is these methods that Goodell is using up, and it all rolls downhill. They're coming up, the refs are in on it too. They're basically coming up with rules on the spot and kind of, to have the script come into fruition. It's almost like watching a play at the theater, And of course, signings are big, but you need to, and Easy and I, we were spot on. You guys can go back and listen to our shows. We called that Tampa Bay would win the Super Bowl on week 12, something like that.
But Matt, I understand the capability of Eric, because I've just met you today, of calling games, but we're talking about the signings. I don't know where that, goes in line with that.
Yeah, serious. What was the Giants sign? What was his name? Is Sirius there? Sirius is probably on mute. Not talking to me because he's mad at me.
Yes, I'm mad at you, my fault. It's Ifinity Odenbego. Odenbego. He's a former defensive lineman of the Minnesota Vikings.
Right. Okay. Yeah. No. Listen. That's an okay signing. I think it's in line with the Austin Jackson or whatever. It's just they didn't want to listen. I would have loved to kept Dalvin Tomlinson on that defensive line because he's just a run stuffer and he's gotten better each year that we drafted him out of Alabama. But $10 million and then you had to sign. They had to keep Leonard Williams because, they traded picks for him, they franchised him, they had to work out a deal, so they couldn't keep them both, and that was just the casualty of war. So that was probably, all right, you couldn't keep Tomlinson, so you got to bring in a guy that can do pretty much the same thing, stuff the run, while they try to go get some other talent on the offensive side. So and that's kind of where I look at it. I mean, and one signing that I did like that Sirius brought up earlier was the Samuel signing, Curtis Samuel to the Washington football team. I like that. He had a nice year in Carolina, gets a 3-year deal. Hey, listen, now they got Fitzmagic, your boy Sirius Fitzmagic. They're ready to win now because the Washington football team got Fitzmagic.
Here's the funny thing about that, I'm down here. I live around the corner. They must have been listening to the show because they done heard the argument and the back and forth. And they, Sirius, let me get your man right next to you so you can keep it in his ear. Man, Ron Rivera, he know what's up, man. He know what's up.
They did it because they know the villain's a Giant fan. And they know that, listen, the Giants can take advantage of Fitz Tragic, not Fitz Magic.
Stop it, sir. Here's the sad thing. Fitz Magic can turn the ball over, and then Danny Dimes will trip trying to run for a first down. Stop it.
Yeah, well, listen. Beggars can't be choosers, all right? Beggars can't be choosers. But it's TP. I honestly think bringing in Fitzmagic is actually a pretty good signing for Washington. It's not a big splash. It's not getting Cam or getting Watson in a trade or something like that. But I think it's a solid signing until they can figure out where they want to move in the future with this position, because they're good. They got a good enough defense to win that division as is. I just think they need a quarterback that can keep them steady and maybe steal a game or two in the playoffs.
Here's how I feel about that signing. They had to do that on the fly with them getting rid of Alex Smith, and they having Haskins go to Pittsburgh as well. They just lost two quarterbacks within this calendar year. So they had to get a quarterback. And with everybody going crazy, including Sirius and others saying, you know what, Tua probably entered into the game too soon, at least he's had his, you know, letdown and being like, you know what, he felt like he was robbed at that point in time. And it could be a situation
breaking news again.
Oh, why when I'm talking, you do
news.
This? Hey, hold on, man. It's got to wait. That's come on, man. With the fact of the matter, I just lost my train of thought. Go ahead, say it. Say it, serious.
My fault, big homie. My fault, big homie. But Kyle Van Noy is returning back to New England. Kyle Van Noy is returning back to New England.
Okay, so I guess we'll talk about the Kyle Van Noy sighting. How do you feel about him returning back to New England? I'll come to you first on this one, Barry.
Listen, New England's doing work. And, you know, listen, we talked about it. Not only did they got hit hard with the COVID as far as players not wanting to come back during the COVID season. So now they're a totally different team. They got some nice signings, like Sirius alluded to. I think Henry and Smith at the tight end position gives them the double tight end that this team covets. I think bringing in Kendrick Bourne and Aguilar was a nice signing for them as well. And you know, to your point, TP, bringing in Cam Newton now looks like a good deal because it's incentive-laden. It doesn't hit the cap very hard. And you got weapons around them now that you couldn't say you had before because Belichick was just holding his wallet tight to his chest and wasn't going to open it up. Now you got weapons. Now it's like up to Cam. You have no excuses. If you can't keep this job, then I don't know what to tell you. So I think now couple bringing him back with the weapons that they have now and bringing back Noy on that defense that was pretty good a year removed, I like what they're doing. I think it's the Empire Strikes Back for real. Everybody says my Yankees are the evil Empire. You know, if the Patriots somehow eke out and get into the Super Bowl and win, you know, I'm not saying they will, but if they do, that's a dynasty still in because they're a couple of years removed from their last one. So, you know, they're doing good. They're doing good work. And don't forget they traded for the tackle Brown. So. They're making moves. They're moving in the right direction. I like what they're doing in New England.
Hopefully Brown can stay healthy. Eric, your thoughts on this signing of bringing Van Noy back after only a season of leaving and coming right back home to New England?
I think it's huge. You know, he knows the system. He's a real – I mean, he grew up there, and he elevated his game there. So I think the Patriots made a lot of good signings, Aguilar and Bourne. We've seen Bill Belichick do this. He brings in mediocre, I'm not going to say mediocre, these players are better than mediocre, but average players, you know what I mean? And he gets the job done with it. They win Super Bowls. Cam Newton now has another season under his belt coming back to the Patriots. He learned the system last year, so like Barry alluded to, no excuses. I think the Patriots are going to be exciting to watch this year, and I think right now on paper they're going to have to translate it on the field, of course, but right now on paper I think this Patriot team is a playoff team. They have what it takes to get the job done with Belichick still there. They're always going to be the best coach team, and I think they're all going to gel and have a great year this year. So I really like that Cam Newton came back. I was actually hoping that the 49ers would pick him up. You know, I knew he was going to have no problem finding a job. He came to New England after what happened in Carolina. He was out the whole year with an injury. So this guy still is an MVP quarterback. This guy still has gas left in his tank, especially if he's out there healthy. And now that he's got the system down, I think we're going to see it transpire next year on the field.
Okay, fair enough. Matt, your thoughts on this re-signing of having Van Noy go back to New England and, you know, him being a part of the defense. They also have Matt Patricia coming back home too, so there's a lot of interesting pieces coming back to Massachusetts. Your thoughts on them trying to make moves in New England? Can they reclaim the division from the Buffalo Bills with these moves?
I'm going to say no. You know, I've never been a Cam Newton fan, to be honest. And, you know, I don't think he doesn't lead the team the way he needs to. So I'm going to say no. I don't think that the Patriots are going to be heavy hitters this year at all.
Okay, Barry, did you speak on this?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I kind of disagree. I think they will. This is a team that was what were 7-9, with everything that they had with no weapons. I think getting all these weapons on offense, getting an offensive line back together, and getting the band back together on defense. Not only the players with Van Noy, but to your point, addition by subtraction in Detroit, getting Patricia back. I think they're prime. I think they're. I don't know if they're better than the Bills. I kind of see where that is. The Bills are a darn good football team, but I like what they've done. I think they can give them fits. And yeah, you know, shout out to Power 103. I got to put the plug in there. You know what I mean?
Okay, seriously. So since this news broke, I mean, your thoughts, as they're still a powerhouse that you have to worry about within the AFC, this is a season pass with Brady being gone. Can this push them at least to the top of the AFC East, or do you think it's still Buffalo Bills division now that they've kind of found their identity? Your thoughts on the signing with Van Noy coming there?
You know, honestly, man, here's the thing. Like, this is going to be interesting to watch because the Buffalo Bills themselves are not just laying pat and just not doing anything. They went and picked up Emmanuel Sanders. They signed another offensive tackle. They picked up a linebacker, Matt Milamo, on a four-year, $41.5 million deal. They did something with the punter. I expect them to be just as aggressive in the days to come with some picking up and some moves. They also got the draft coming up. So the Bills aren't going to lay there and just hand it back over to the Patriots. But with that being said, Eric mentioned something that I'm a double click on. He said something about how on paper this New England Patriots team is pretty decent. And, you know, honestly, when you bring in a Cam Newton, I mean, like my man, I think his name is Brian. I apologize. Like Matt said a second ago, I've never been a fan of Cam Newton. Even when he was drafted, I just really thought that he was a guy who used his athleticism to play the position and not necessarily his mind or his arm ability coming out of college, and that's kind of how it's carried on through his NFL career. But with that being said, when you get weapons like a Nelson Aguilar who, you know, played exceptionally well a season ago with the Raiders, you bring up a dude like Kendrick Bourne, you go and get two tight ends who have been known to be tremendous red zone targets, and tremendous after the catch and able to get open in short spaces. You address your offensive line of picking up a Ted Carcass. Then you go out on the defensive side and you got a bunch of guys coming back like a Dante Hightower who opted out due to COVID, a Patrick Chung who opted out due to COVID. You go get a Matt Judon. This team right now is primed to make a run. Jalen Mills, another guy who is, you know, hot and cold with the responsibility at the corner position from when he played with the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, if you get these guys to kind of buy in and Matt Patricia returns to his coordinator, you know, ways, and he's able to, you know, figure out how to, you know, work these guys in, then you get Van Noy coming in. You know, a guy who knows the system, a guy who, you know, is familiar with, you know, the ins and outs of Matt Patricia's defense and can kind of work, you know, what he's been able to do. These are not scrubs. You know, Van Noy is not a scrub. Dante Hightower is not a scrub. Matt Judon
You know, again, I've known him personally as a member of the Baltimore Ravens, not a scrub. You know, this Patriot team is going to be probably a 9-10, you know, win team, barring anything crazy happening. You know, if Cam Newton plays, you know, decent football and doesn't turn the ball over, and you know, protects the football and this, that, and the third, this Patriot team is going to be a problem, a legitimate problem. They, again, they're going to be a problem.
Okay, fair enough. So I'll get away from that. There's something that interesting that did happen in the sport world. I do want to just shout that out. I don't know if y'all want to talk about it or not, but the situation that happened with Deshaun Watson and, you know, I don't know if I want to call this a scandal, but there's something that's come up, and I don't know if this is something that's along with the lines of him trying to leave Houston. But I want to see how you guys feel about Deshaun Watson and his situation in Houston. And I'm also getting Tyrod Taylor to go down there to probably try to fill the void if Deshaun does leave. I'll come back to you, Barry. Your thoughts on this information that's still swirling around, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I mean, I knew you were going to come to me first, because you know I don't want to talk about it at all. But listen, I'm not going to pass judgment yet until we get all the facts, until the facts are laid out in front of us. There's two accusers, I guess. Coming with civil suits that there were inappropriate actions. I don't even know what it was at a massage parlor, you know. But, I mean, I always question when a lawyer comes out and says, I have more people, but he says it on Twitter or on Instagram. He doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, so I'm not there yet. I'm, you know, serious knows. I said it. I'm just not getting there yet. When all the facts are laid out, I'll make my decision. I'll make an opinion. But right now, it's just what it is. It's just a rumor. Oh, not even a rumor. It's just gossip at this point.
Yeah, well, I mean, to stand up for Deshaun Watson a little bit. I don't think. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think it was at an actual business. I think it was someone's home or something like that, exactly like that. But you know how messages can get crossed and you can go a little bit too far. But I gotta say that I gotta stand up for my man Deshaun Watson, because I mean, I think I was watching the news a few days ago and he said that he was over at a massage therapist's home, private home, which he had a somewhat of a relationship with. It wasn't the first time they've met, and to be honest, guys, we all know what easy targets these wealthy. I mean, I hate to say it, these wealthy black athletes. I mean, everyone's looking for their 15 minutes of fame, and you know, we saw with Kobe. You know, God rest his soul. Unless he faked his own death, I'm going to say that I'm going to stand behind Deshaun Watson because, women can get the wrong idea and they can simply just make these accusations, you know, to get a settlement. Simple as that.
Okay, Sirius, your thoughts on the situation around Deshaun Watson? And also, if you can, I don't know if they're hearing me, how they feel about Tyrod Taylor being a name being thrown down to Houston. And Houston kind of bracing themselves if something does happen with Deshaun Watson.
You know, honestly, man, this is a very troubling situation. I said this in a private message with you guys earlier today. When there's smoke, there's fire. You know what I'm saying? And the two victims, quote unquote, said that he was inappropriately touching them with his penis. And so it's something that I'm not sure, you know, I'm not here to, you know, cast judgment or, you know, guilty or innocent, you know, verdict that's for the lawyers and, you know, the powers that be to do. But with that being said,
We have spoken at nauseam, you know, about these athletes putting themselves in positions where they can, you know, be in, I guess, in these situations, you know, whether Deshaun Watson is guilty or innocent. It's never really cool to show up to somebody else's home, you know, in this type of fashion, in this type of manner. So I had a buddy of mine try to tell me this is a smear campaign. This is being linked by, leaked by the Houston Texans to make it difficult for Deshaun Watson to be traded. And there's a lot of conspiracy theories going on, which is not fair to Deshaun Watson or the victims involved. I will say this, and I'm gonna leave it alone. If it comes back that Deshaun Watson is guilty of any or all of what's being accused of him, it's a wrap for his career, in my honest opinion. But with that being said, that's probably a long way down the road. The second lawsuit says Watson's behavior is part of a disturbing pattern of preying against vulnerable women. It's crazy. It's really, really crazy. And I just can't wait to see and hear the truth come out at the end.
Eric, your thoughts on the situation and also the Tyrod Taylor signing? Everybody's missing that. your thoughts on everything that's going on in Houston? Do you think this is something that's attached to Deshaun trying to leave or, you know, things of that nature? And also, do you think Tyrod Taylor is a security blanket move for the Texans?
You know, I think it's just another chapter in the saga. What is the Houston Texans? Tyrod Taylor, yeah, bringing him in, you know, that's a little damage control, but that's putting duct tape on the problem. Losing a guy like Deshaun Watson, one of the top quarterbacks in all of football, Tyrod Taylor definitely is not going to fill that void or even come close. But with that being said, I agree with Sirius here. I just think it's a smear campaign, you know, because he's unhappy there. They want to damage his reputation, so they can, hopefully keep him. That's what I think what's going on here. They want these other teams to think that he's a headache and a problem so they can keep him on the team. But I doubt Deshaun Watson is going to be in a Texans uniform by the start of the season. His agent's already said he's prepared to sit out, so we'll have to see what happens there, you know. But, yeah, it's just there's all kinds of problems in Houston. It's like going through a divorce, you know, and one of the husband or the wife isn't happy, and you trying to force them to stay in that relationship. You know, it's definitely not going to work. So they're going to ultimately have to trade him. Otherwise, he'll just sit out. So if I'm the Texans, I'd be entertaining these offers because they have the potential, if they play it right, to get all kinds of stuff back. They'll be set for the future. They can get draft picks. They can get players. They're going to get multiple first-round picks. So it's not a bad idea. You know, the relationship in my eyes right now is irretrievable, broken. It's done. And they need to move on and let Deshaun Watson go. They already they're the ones that caused this in the first place. Like we've talked about many times, this team was one game removed from the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs and almost won that game. And then after that, they got rid of DeAndre Hopkins. So they've made all these questionable moves. They brought it on themselves. And they have no one to – I mean, look at themselves in the mirror, the GM, the president of the football operations here, for allowing this to happen. They have no one to blame but themselves. And if they're smart, they'll let them go, and they're going to be set for the future if they play it right and draft right, because they're going to get all kinds of – I mean, Deshaun Watson is highly valued, and he's going to demand, you would demand a lot back if you're going to trade him. So, and every NFL team has expressed interest in this guy. So, if I'm Houston, they need to get rid of him now and save face for their franchise in the future, because right now, who's going to want to come play for the Houston Texans? No, that's not going to be a free agent destination. Nobody's going to want to play there because of what management's doing. So they need to blow up the whole organization at this point, do a full-fledged rebuild, and save face.
Yeah, and I
and
agree.
Just to chime in, guys. Well, I'm just saying Tyrod Taylor is, you know, nothing special, guys. He's played for a lot of teams as mostly a backup, if I'm not mistaken. And he, if I'm not mistaken, it's hard for him to stay healthy. So I'd have to agree with Eric on this one. It's a complete Band-Aid. He's not going to take these guys very far at all. So in that sense, I mean, yeah, I mean, what is the best way to keep Deshaun Watson is, you know, by having no other team really want to get into this mix, because Tyrod Taylor is not the answer. He's how long has he been in the league for? A while now, but you don't really hear very much about him. You know, I think he tried out for the Browns, didn't make it, something like that. But he's been in the league for a long time, and he hasn't performed. So, you know, they could have picked a better quarterback than him, for sure. But I just don't know. I don't think that was very smart, because he's not going to perform, and the guy's only got a few years left anyways. You know, so.
Okay. Anybody else want to say anything towards that? We can get away from it.
No, I'll just say one more thing, TP. Thanks, brother. About Tyrod Taylor, I think he's the perfect guy to bring in to Houston, because he's a veteran. You know, he would be a stopgap quarterback if they do move on from Deshaun Watson, which I always said that they should. If he doesn't want to be there, he doesn't want to be there. So he's a guy that, you know, you can hand the football to. He's going to play solidly. He's a leader. We've seen that in Cleveland and with the Chargers. He can lead a team. He is a good locker room leader, you know, so I think bringing him in is a smart move. I don't see anybody else better that you could have brought in if the situation falls out that, you know, Watson's no longer there. So I do like this for Tyrod Taylor. It's a good move, and Houston just needs to regroup, rebuild, and really fix that organization, because it's a complete dog mess right now, so.
The crazy part is if this is somewhere where Tyrod Taylor sticks. And the reason why I say this is because that's what Matt alluded to, is that he's been all over the league and he's been supplemental for situations, but then they move him somewhere else because he's not that quarterback that they're looking to lead. The last place that he was that, like, he led a team, you know, as much as he could, was in Buffalo, and Buffalo moved him and got rid of him. And I think that's when he ended up in a Cleveland Brown situation, and then Baker came along, and now we got the story of Baker, and then he went to the Chargers, and we got the story of Herbert there. So hopefully he can make this happen. They wanted to hang on to Deshaun. Deshaun's ready to go. Like I said, I think this is more of a security blanket situation than him actually being the guy for the next, let's just say, 2 to 4 years, if I'm looking at Tyrod's career correctly. I can't be wrong. He may be the guy for the future, or he may be stunted short. But I definitely wanted to get that out there, just to do that quickly. There's more NFL news. I have Kyle Long unretiring, coming back to Kansas City, trying to help fill their void, especially with them losing an offensive lineman as well earlier this week. We can go there, or we can definitely spill into some of this NBA stuff that's going on. We got a lot of interesting news in NBA as well. Is there any other topics that you guys have before I get this one moving? I'll come to you first on this one, Barry.
No, I mean, with that, I like the move. You know, hopefully Long can come back and contribute. You know, one of the good guys and good linemen for Cleveland. So, and I just, you know what, I do want to give props to the New York Jets. I don't give them a lot of props, but I like what they're doing so far with bringing in Corey Davis, like I mentioned earlier in the show, and going for Carl Lawson. I thought they would go for Bud Dupree, but with the knee injury, it's going the safe route of somebody that is a little bit healthier and not coming off a big knee injury. And so the Jets are making some solid moves.
you know, preparing themselves. Like I said, they would, you know, they have the cap space so they can bring in some guys. So I like what they're doing so far, and we'll see how that nets out. But I just want to definitely give them props, and we can leave that there where it is, PP, and we can go on to the hoops.
Okay, well, on a down note, we have a situation going on with a long time. I don't want to call him legend, but he has a notable name, and Sean Bradley. Sean Bradley suffered an injury last month that now has him paralyzed. Sean Bradley is paralyzed now from the neck down, being one of the tallest centers of all time in the NBA, being a seven foot six center, playing with the likes of Dallas as well as the New Jersey Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers, just to name a few. I remember him coming to the league and so many different memories, but wishing him the best bit of health and for God to be with him. This is troubling for me to actually, you know, be made aware of this situation. Previously before the show, I wanted to try to figure out how I was going to get to it. I want to see how you guys feel about this. With Sean Bradley in a bicycle accident, I think he was on the bike and somebody hit him from behind, and he is now paralyzed. I'll come to you first on this one, Sirius. Your thoughts on Sean Bradley, between him, Manu Bol, and Yao, at least me thinking of that, I think those are the tallest big men that I could think of in NBA history.
Mirasan needs to be up there too. But at the end of the day, man, it's unfortunate that Sean Bradley is now having to deal with this. You know, he seems and appears to be one of the nicest guys. We're going to walk down memory lane for a second. I mean, my favorite Sean Bradley moment, unfortunately, is not his favorite. It's when my man Matt punched it on his head, you know, in that game. I think it was April 25th, 2005, where, you know, T-Mac just goes baseline and just yams on him. You know, Sean Bradley seems like a cool dude. You know, you never want to wish, you know, harm or ill will on anybody. According to what I'm understanding, he did make a statement, you know, and say that he's in good spirits. He's lucky to, you know, at least keep his life and everything. But at the end of the day, man, it's unfortunate. It's very, very unfortunate. We got people out here doing dirt and treating people badly and being, you know, disrespectful and everything like that, and they get to walk around and be free and not have to worry about this. And it seems like a good guy like Sean Bradley, you know, got dealt a bad beat. Now, you know, he has to live the rest of his life paralyzed. I wish him the best. You know, salute to his family and his loved ones and those that are going to come alongside him and support him and try to make his life, you know, not so much, you know, down and sad, but make his life a memory and something that will be enjoyable for the rest of the time here.
Matt, I don't know if you're into, like, you know, Sean Bradley and his history. Anything that you know, remember from Sean Bradley? I mean, the one that Sirius points out is easily one of the more top memorable situations in his career, and it was him trying to play defense and he was too short, and he's 7 foot six.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, like he was too short for that
right,
situation.
Yeah.
But your thoughts on Sean Bradley with his injury that he just suffered.
Terrible. It's terrible. I mean, there's nothing good. There's really nothing good about that besides, you know, it's his journey, you know? Yeah. I mean, anyone that is 7 foot 6 inches is going to, you know, make their mark on the NBA. He's from Landstuhl, you know, a German dude, like the Storm and Mormon, you know, like, that's, it's terrible. You know, it is absolutely terrible news. I don't know, really know what to say about it besides it's a big loss for everyone. Sucks.
He's still playing, so that's a good thing. At least he's still alive, but it's an unfortunate injury. I'll come to you on this one, Barry. Your thoughts on Sean Bradley, the injury that he suffered, and he is now paralyzed from it.
Yeah, I mean, Sarah said it right. You know, good guy, you know, gentle hearted. I mean, this guy served 2 years in the Mormon service before he got drafted in the NBA when he played his college career at BYU. So, I mean, generally a good guy. You know, he said in a statement, you know, he hopes to use this experience to kind of teach others about the importance of bicycle safety. So, you know, hopefully turning something that's somewhat of a negative into a positive, you know, after the 8 weeks of rehab and everything he's been going through, the next fusion and everything. So it's unfortunate. You never want to hear this happen. I saw this earlier today, and I was just like, man, I was just, wow, it was just unfortunate. But, you know, things happen for a reason. You know, God protected him and didn't let anything worse happen to him, like, you know, losing his life. But, you know, now he can, you know, hopefully advocate for somebody in the same situation and bring awareness. So hopefully that happens. But, you know, as always, you know, prayers are with him and his family in this trying time.
Eric, your thoughts on this injury and any Sean Bradley memories that you could think of as well? Every time you think of a memory, at least myself, he's always in the bad side of it. Even when Shaquille got to him, like, but just with him being one of the notably taller players in NBA history, I mean, your thoughts on his situation and him having to, you know, move on from this situation with a paralyzing injury.
Yeah, this is devastating news. Being a big man, we all know they encounter injuries, and you know, being paralyzed from the neck down, it's going to be a hard road from here on out. So, you know, Sean Bradley's a great guy. So, I wish him the best. Him and his family is definitely going to be in our prayers. Just a really, really unfortunate accident and injury to occur. Just more proof that we never know what's going to happen from day to day, minute to minute. So just be thankful for everything and grateful, because you never know what can happen. But definitely prayers and, you know, for from here on out for him and for the, you know, the challenges that he's now going to be facing in life. So, yeah, very unfortunate, Timeless.
Okay, I'm going to do this quickly to get a refresher on the scores across the board. Games that went final. The Detroit Pistons beat the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors need to figure this out now. They are downward spiraling bad, 116 to 112. The Brooklyn Nets had a tough game with the Indiana Pacers, but they outlast them, winning this game 124 to 115. In overtime, the Milwaukee Bucks go into South Philadelphia and knock off the 76ers, 109 to 105. And at the buzzer, the Sacramento Kings beat the Washington Wizards, 121 to 119. De'Aaron Fox with a banger to knock these guys out. Those are games that went final, games that are in play right now. You have the Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers going at it, 89-85. The Chicago Bulls and the San Antonio Spurs are at, now it's 82-79. You have the Golden State Warriors taking care of business up against the Houston Rockets, 88-74. Miami is actually losing to Memphis, 43-36, in which we'll begin to that shortly. The Denver Nuggets are up 52-45 on Charlotte. And last but not least, the Clippers and Dallas are just underway. The Clippers are up 20-18 in the first quarter. Now, I am frustrated about something that just did happen in the NBA, and this has been lasting for, I think, about the last 2 weeks, in which something that's happening in Oklahoma City has been happening all season long. They have a player in Trevor Ariza who's chose not to play at all for the Thunder. The Thunder wait until this opportunity and this point in time to make the move. Send him to South Beach with the Miami Heat, which I don't have any problem on where he goes. If he's not going to want to play for your organization, that's fine. But for them to bring back a pick and Myers Leonard, it's two questionable situations. Now, I get it. The incentives and things that, you know, considerations that may have been involved for the Oklahoma City Thunder is one thing. But it's like, how many picks do you need? One. And two, you bring the more controversial person in the NBA to your organization, in which they're saying that they're not going to, you know, bring him along the roster, things of that nature, that wave him immediately. But it's like, come on. Like, this guy doesn't deserve any legs right now from what the statement that he's made that has people thinking a certain way. And it's like Oklahoma City wants to stay in the thick of things with whether trade or draft picks. It's like, how many draft picks do you need for a 15-man roster within the next 7 or 8 years? If you're looking at how this is supposed to pan out, these are all supposed to turn over or translate within, well, within to the years of 2030, 2031, 2032. It's like, come on. Like, get to the fact of trying to get these guys to play ball. Now, I get it. Some of these picks may be used to try to bring players into the Oklahoma City Thunder organization. So I want to see how you guys feel about this situation. Shout out to www.power103radio.com with the Sports City Chefs. I want to see how you guys feel about this with the controversy of Myers Leonard and the controversy of Trevor Ariza, who's not played basketball all season, but is going to probably become available for this Miami Heat team, who are in the midst of things in the Eastern Conference. I'll come to you first on this one, Barry.
Listen, I love what Oklahoma City did. I mean, you know, basically getting nothing, something for nothing. You got a guy that wasn't playing for you, and you just got draft capital. I mean, you can never have too many draft picks. I mean, look at what Boston did. They had draft picks, and they kind of flipped those around. I agree with you. Too many picks, you know, you can't fill up a 15-man roster, but you can flip those picks to get a better player. So I disagree with you on that. I think you get as many, you know, mid-level exceptions, you get as many draft picks as you possibly can, accumulate them, and you can flip those. You get a couple, you know, ones for one really big one. You can, you know, really move up to the top of a draft and package some of those picks together to get that one big guy, maybe a Cunningham, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could package a pick. I don't know if anybody would pass on them, but if you had a bunch of picks, maybe a team would be willing to do it. So you always give yourself the option. So I like what Presti did there. Miami got up. If Ariza plays, that's a good wing player that could defend, be, you know, a 3-and-D guy that can be there in the playoffs. So, and listen, there's no sense in talking about Leonard. He will not see the court in Oklahoma City. He'll probably get his walking papers, and that'll be that. It's not about him. It's about getting draft picks. It's about Ariza. He was just in the deal to make the money work. They had no intention of really keeping him, so I wouldn't worry about him. So I like what Oklahoma City did. It's good business right now for the future.
And I mean, I'm going to agree to disagree with you, but with that being said, it's like you're saying to bring the picks in, to bring somebody else there. The history behind Oklahoma City is getting players there and they move them. Through the draft, they've had so many players come there and pick them up, and they've been good pieces, and they filter out throughout the league. We have the likes of Kevin Durant that said that that's not a good organization to go to. You have the likes of Russell Westbrook that has left, James Harden that has left, Serge Ibaka that has left. Nobody's really going to want to go there. If you're looking at any pieces that are going to go there, they're going to have to be the young pieces of the future, not the pieces that you could get a veteran there. They're already looking to move Al Horford, who is the veteran there. So, like, if they're already getting ready to move him, they're removing Ariza. There's hot talk about George Hill. They are not holding on to any player there. Like, I get it. People are enamored with seeing these picks and trying to bring people there. But there are the biggest names in basketball in the NBA, which the Thunder have gotten rid of in a matter of the past decade or so. Like, so I beg to differ on that. This has happened throughout the years of this organization. I can go beyond the past decade or so when them getting rid of Ray Allen, getting rid of Sean Kemp, getting rid of Gary Payton. This is in the lineage of this doggone organization, and let alone the distraction of having his name affiliated with them. They did not need that. They do not need another pick. They have enough picks to gain a pick to be the moving piece to get somebody there. That's absurd. That's absurd. They have over like 15 picks. This is like an honest number. Within the next 5 to 6 years, there's a 15-man roster. Who are you going to keep? Are you going to pick people up? Like who are you going to get that's in the league? Are you going to get Anthony Davis? Are you going to get Boogie? These guys are getting older. I don't know. I'll move this one around. I'll come to you, Eric. Your thoughts on this move with Trevor Ariza heading to South Beach and Myers Leonard, and in consideration for the pick, and Myers Leonard as well coming back to the Oklahoma City Thunder, in which Myers Leonard will not potentially play with the team. Eric, are you still there? Do we have you?
I think he's on mute.
Yeah, can you repeat that, Ty? I was having some difficulties here.
With the move from the Thunder sending Trevor Ariza to the Miami Heat and the Miami Heat sending back a second-round pick and Myers Leonard, probably the more controversial player in the league right now, even though they're saying that he might not play with the team at all, your thoughts on the move?
Well, kind of shocking that they would do that just because of the controversy that just came out about him. Getting a second-round pick back from Ariza, I think, is good. He is, you know, up there in his career later stages, so that's not too bad. But I don't know here. I think Ariza may be a better player. You know, he's a great perimeter shooter. So I don't know, Timeless. You follow the Thunder, you know, that's your team. So what are you, you know, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. To me, it's kind of a head-scratching move, you know, besides getting a second-round pick.
I don't even think I would entertain them. I wouldn't even entertain the Heat. Like not to give them somebody that was supposed to be a strong piece for us, and he didn't even perform at all. I would send him somewhere where he's not comfortable. This team just made the NBA Finals. You're helping an NBA Finals team instead of helping yourself, and you're looking more toward the years of 2024 through 28 for these picks to start panning out. But we're looking at 2022, 2023, and they still have, I think, like 4 to 6 picks within the next 2 years. Like, I don't get why he needed another pick. And this is outside of Myers Leonard. Why have that name attached to you to make it look like that was something to add on? Like, there's no need for that. Like, I don't like this. I feel like Presti is still trying to be the smartest guy in the room. And, yes, a lot of the things that he does, and I want to say like 89% to 93% of the things that he does ends up working itself out. But it's like enough with the picks. Everybody that sees any, you know, news with the Thunder is more draft picks. It's like enough is enough. How are you going to get these all to work? And, like, how do you fill the arena of Oklahoma City? And what are you going to do, to trust the process situation that Philly did? Like, Philly had that workout in a 2 to 3 year span. Who wants to sit up there and watch the Thunder lose? Nobody's going to pay attention to a small market team. Philadelphia's in a big market. Like, you have to help yourself at the end of the day. So that's how I feel. Forget it, I don't know. I was going to say that. I do know. Like, enough is enough. They got to get going. It's already bad enough. You have a G League coach running the show with a whole bunch of youth going up against guys that know the league already, going up against, you know, college, the G League, or high school players if they do come out early and don't spend that much time on a collegiate roster. So I'm extremely mad about this. I will come to you on this one, Sirius. Your thoughts on the Thunder and the move that was just made with Ariza and Myers Leonard in a pick?
You know, honestly, man, I'm going to go against the grain here. I think it was brilliant, and here's why. You know, you really use those draft picks as capital to maneuver and get ultimately what you want. Now, in theory, OKC is never going to have enough, you know, roster spots to sit there and draft, you know, these players and whatnot. So you acquire as much assets as you possibly can. So that's players, that's draft picks, that's cash compensation. If you got to throw in the pretzel guy and the beer girl, you know what I'm saying? You acquire as many assets as you possibly can to potentially go and get somebody that you ultimately want. Now, with that being said, we have yet, and this is where I kind of agree with your point, Thomas. You know, we have yet to see that materialize. I mean, OKC has yet to really land, you know, unless you want to call PG-13, you know, a star. But, you know, has really yet to land a star with the draft picks and capital that they've acquired from these deals. But, you know what I'm saying, you miss, you know, 100% of the shots that you don't take. You know what I'm saying? And you have, you know, a league where, you know, players are running things, and you know what I'm saying, GMs need, you know, to fill roster seats and GMs need to fill this, that, and the third, those draft picks to come in handy. So from that aspect, I get it. As for Myers Leonard, you know, I'm not going to waste, you know, our airtime dealing with that. We beat that up pretty well when the incident went down. I will say this. I do like Trevor Ariza potentially playing ball for the Miami Heat. He's a guy who is actually, like Barry alluded to, a 3-and-D guy. He's a guy who can hit an open shot. He's a guy who straps up play defense. And he's a guy that can really come inside that locker room and kind of be another, you know, another big brother to the young guns that they have on their roster. You got a Tyler Hero, you got a Duncan Robinson, you got some guys on that roster who are a little bit wet behind the ears, so to speak, even though they made a finals run, they're a little bit wet behind the ears. You know what I'm saying? And so you pair a Trevor Ariza with a Jimmy Butler, and crunch time, you got some guys who've been there, done that. And again, we all understand how good Spo is about putting his people in positions to be successful. This is a guy who can hit a free throw. This is a guy who can get his own shot, so to speak. He's a consistent jump shooter, and he's a competitor on the defense side of the defense side of the ball. I like the move if you're Miami, and I understand the move if you're OKC.
Okay, Matt, last but not least on this one, your thoughts on the move with Ariza going to the Heat and the Thunder picking up another pick, as well as Myers Leonard, who has a cloud hanging over him right now.
Yeah, you know, I think I'd have to agree with Sirius on this one because I think what he was kind of trying to get at is it's leverage for the future because, I mean, obviously they're not going to see much ROI from this trade for another 5 years. I think that's the trade that they, the 2027 or something like that. But I mean, let's think about it, guys. Like, is OKC really going to be a heavy player in the next couple of years? We have some really, really good teams that are just better. And so, in a future point of view and perspective, it might not have been a bad idea, because, I mean, maybe the high ups there, they have a plan to make these guys heavy hitters in the next 4 or 5 years. And if that is the case, then it was a good move because, I mean, yeah, we all know what draft picks are worth. And I don't really see OKC doing much for the next couple of years. So maybe they have a plan to build a super team or at least a great team in the next, 4 or 5 years. So in that sense, yeah, I mean, as a business perspective, I think it was not a bad idea at all.
I don't understand 4 or 5 years down the road. That's a lost situation. If this is where they have Shea there right now, they're building around Shea. If they are wasting 4 or 5 years of Shea's career and it doesn't work out, then Shea's going to have to go. Like they have to make this happen now while they do have pieces right there with him, Lou Dort. They have a ton of small forwards right there that they even got rid of Hamidou Diallo right now. Like, they are moving pieces left and right to try to make this work, let alone you have people stamping this as a bad organization. Like, what big name out there is going to want to come there where they watch other big names come there and leave there? That's what I'm looking at. If we're looking at this to be a trade situation, who are they going to go after? Kawhi Leonard?
Well,
Kawhi's not going to go there. Like anybody from L.A., they're not going to go there. Like, LeBron's about to walk out of the league. CP3, they just got rid of CP3 and helped them get to a playoff. Like, I don't know who they're going to pick up in that
situation. That's kind of what I
hold
was.
Hold on. I let you finish. So if it's going to be 4 or 5 years down the road, that's going to be 2025 to 2026. This time will be lost, especially with a coach that's trying to figure this out right now. And he's a G League coach, going to be outcoached by everybody that's across the board that had their time or substance within the league right now.
I mean, I agree. You're right. That's the point. There is nothing. Things a mess right now. So plan ahead, and maybe they have a shot in 4 or 5 years because nothing's working out. So maybe they're letting the dust settle around this league right now. You just said it. LeBron, he's on his way out. A lot of these guys are on their way out. So maybe that's their plan. Maybe that's been their plan this whole time, to build for this future in the next 5 years. I mean, that's perhaps why they did that, because they recognize, you know, that it's a mess right now, and there's pretty much nothing they can do at this present moment to win. So they're gonna plan for the future in hopes that in 4 or 5 years, when these big names have retired or whatnot, that these guys will actually have a shot.
Yeah, but it is more or less looking along the lines of the draft or picking people up in a move within the NBA.
Well, in a draft, for sure.
Right. So,
because,
like I'm saying, it's 50-man roster.
No one's going to come there.
Right. Exactly. So this is what I'm talking about. In the 15-man roster, they're going to at least probably, let's just say, they keep about 4 of them, right? In the next 5 years that you're looking at, they'll probably have 14 picks right there. Who do you hang on to right there, and who do you get rid of? Like this is already turning into a mess if we're looking at it along the lines that you're drawing out.
But, TP, it's never a mess to have too many draft picks. I'm sorry. You traded nothing for something. This guy wasn't on the team. He wasn't playing. Reason wasn't there. You just traded somebody that wasn't there for a draft pick. And that draft pick, you can flip for a higher draft pick next year. That's what you're doing. You're going to package 2 picks for a higher 1 or a higher 2, or you maybe a stash in the EuroLeague or something like that. So, I mean, I understand there's not enough roster. You got to build and all that, but you got to build with draft picks because you're not attracting free agents, to your point. So you got to trade for somebody. Maybe there's going to be a trade. Maybe you could flip those picks for Oladipo or somebody. So it's patience. Just
they
know,
got rid of Oladipo.
I'm not going to say trust it.
They got rid of Oladipo. They can't go back
but
and get
like,
him again.
But I know, but like a player like that you can trade for, not Oladipo himself. I'm saying a player like that you can trade for. Maybe you can take one of those picks and get Miles Turner that's on the market right now that people are interested. Maybe you can get him for Andre Drummond that people are looking to get. So, I mean, that's what I mean.
You think Miles Turner is a move to make right now? Miles Turner would have to go to a team that helps the team, not to be a focal point piece. I want to see like the examples around the league, though. That don't just throw that out there like, oh, well, wishfully throw the coin in the water. You know, like we're going to wishing well this one out. Like how are you going to compete, especially in the Western Conference, with new faces? Like, you need some type of vet, some type of power. You got rid of all of your vets. The youth that they did have there, they got rid of Sabonis after his rookie season, and I get it. You wanted to see Paul George there, but it didn't work out, and it's like, now what? Then you had to make a move on the fly to get Chris Paul there, and that was a 1-year deal with an aging Gallinari as well.
At the end of the day, TP, I mean, you the OKC fan, I feel the frustration, but, you know, I don't think you're kind of hearing what we're trying to tell you.
I hear exactly what's being said.
No, I don't think you do, because you're getting hung up on the actual names and not that, you know, the skill set or the level of stardom, quote unquote, that these guys are. We're not saying, oh, you can go back and get Oladipo. We're saying you can get somebody of that caliber. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Again, we don't know who that is. You know what I'm saying? We don't know who that is. Andre Drummond, you know, he's going to be in the buyout market. We're not saying go get Andre Drummond. But with somebody of that caliber, and you do that with the draft capital that you have acquired over these last several years. I mean, at the end of the day, and again, just throwing this out there, by the time this return on investment is there, I don't think Shea is going to be joining your roster. So I think he's going to opt out, though.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You're helping me. They're getting rid of the piece that they said they're going to build around with these moves. They got rid of Paul George to get Shea and Gallinari to get 7 picks from the Clippers, and you think that he may be going in 4 or 5 years. That's a loss. Just like you said, you think I'm not looking at the player? Like, I'm looking at the comparison of the piece that you're trying to mention with what piece would come to the Thunder after all of these guys have come and gone across the board. The Thunder has helped out the entire NBA, including the Los Angeles Lakers, who just won a championship and sending Dennis Schroeder there, who was a six-man competitor. Like, they've got rid of so many pieces just to try to make these draft pick situations work over the past couple of years. It's like, when does it stop? And when do you focus on concentrating on the power of now? And it bothers me because I do read that. Well, I've read the book, The Power of Now. They're not even focused on that. They keep looking down the line on this trying to work. They got rid of a James Harden, who this guy was an MVP. They got rid of a Kevin Durant. This guy was an MVP. They got rid of a Russell Westbrook. This guy was an MVP. They hit the lotto three different times and watch these guys go. And watch these guys go. Enough is enough. We're moving these guys. When does this dynasty start? That's a dynasty type of form of team. They were 21 to 22 years old while you started watching this team break apart. They're the same management. I don't know.
I think that's the point. I think that's the point because there's too many powerhouses in the NBA right now for Oklahoma to stand a chance. So what all these guys are saying, what your guys are saying is, listen, I mean, yeah, the power of now, but the now is not working. We need to formulate somewhat of a plan to have a glimpse of hope in the next 4 or 5 years. And what whoever, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name or whoever was speaking previously, but yeah, I mean, the weight of draft picks is huge. You know, accumulate as many as you can. It's not going to hurt at all. It'll just help, you know, and who knows, like, I mean, that's the point of the draft, you know, getting these young, fresh players that have no name yet and see what they can do. I mean, no one's a superstar until they perform, and who knows who's going to be the next one. So draft young kids and see what they can do. You never know. And sure, I mean, in the next 4 or 5 years, get Bol Bol. From the Nuggets. I love that guy.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Bol Bol. You just say
Bol Bol.
Wow.
He's got two first names, last names or something. But you know, the power of now is not working. So you gotta have someone. You gotta plan for, give these guys a shot in the future for a shot at success. I think that's what
this team made the playoffs last year. They weren't supposed to make the playoffs with that team and got rid of almost everybody there.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
team
I
was
not
supposed
not
to be a playoff team
either, but
and they were sitting as a fifth seed, tied with the Rockets. Tied with the Rockets last year with the pieces that they had and got rid of almost everybody. Even though I didn't want to
but
see them with
didn't
want to see them with Steven Adams anymore, but they got rid of Steven Adams, Andre Roberson, CP3, and Gallo. While this team had youth in the likes of last year, Shea was 21 and Dort just came out of college. And left them sitting there with the youth. And so in 4 or 5 years, they'll be 5 and 6 years within the league, and you're going to get rid of them again if this doesn't work within the Western Conference.
Well, we don't know what 4 or 5 years is going to hold, though. We don't know. I mean, it's going to be a completely different picture.
Okay. I will agree to disagree because I don't get it. But is there any topic that you guys would like to address? I'll start with you guys first. The grill is yours.
Yeah, I mean, TP, I'll throw one out there and see if anybody wants to eat it up because I feel bad because, you know, it's just you ranting about your Thunder and it's just like, those were me back in the days of my sorry Knicks, and now we're in better pastures. You need a shooter, though. I mean, After yesterday's game and the game against the Nets, they played hard, but I mean, they just need scoring. The Knicks need scoring, but I'll throw it out there. LeBron James became a part owner of the Boston Red Sox. I think that's one of probably the first minority owners of note in Boston Red Sox history. You know, he bought into a group that has, you know, ties in ownership with Liverpool and other ventures, and now they have he has part ownership of the Boston Red Sox, among other things like Nesson and stuff like that. So I definitely wanted to throw that around, how big that is for LeBron James, for him to not only have a partial stake in a baseball team, but to start to kind of push his legacy into that realm where after, you know, after his playing days, he definitely wanted to be a majority owner like Michael Jordan. So I definitely want to throw that around.
I'll come to you first on this one, Eric. Your thoughts on LeBron buying into part ownership into the Boston Red Sox? Eric, are you available?
Well, that's interesting to me, almost because, you know, he's a basketball guy. He said he, wanted to always own a sports franchise. So I guess getting a stake in the Boston Red Sox isn't a bad deal if you're going that route, because they are one of the legendary sports franchises in all of professional sports, especially in baseball. So, yeah, I mean, good for LeBron. You know, he's got something when he retires from the NBA. I know we've heard him say that he wants to play, you know, as long as he can, you know, into his 40s. I think he really wants to play with his son. That's the end goal. We'll see if his body can hold up. But, yeah, good for LeBron. So definitely a good business move for him. So we'll see what happens.
Theories, your thoughts on the move that LeBron bought into the Boston Red Sox, and how controversial this could be, or how uplifting this could be to try and shed light on a city that has its own scrutiny in years past?
You know, man, I'm going to say this. You know, when these athletes make decisions and make moves that, you know, generate wealth and generate more income for themselves and their families, I stand and applaud that. You know, this is a guy who, you know, took it upon himself to build a school for the underprivileged in his community. This is a guy who has been charitable and generous with his time, his finances, and his resources to help those that, you know, are less fortunate than himself. So when I found out that he was a partner or, you know, in the Major League Baseball for the Boston Celtics, as a Yankee fan, I got upset. I'm not going to lie. I got upset. But I applauded him for, you know, thinking long-term, having a plan. It's something that I honestly believe that athletes and megastars need to understand. You know, your body is not going to last forever. What you normally do to make your ends meet, unless you play golf, you know, you can't do that for too much longer, so you've got to make your money work for you. And, you know, LeBron is doing that. He joins the long list of athletes and celebrities who own sports franchises. I also think he owns, some soccer things. And, you know, he has his hands in everything, man. So salute to him, and I wish him continued success in everything that he does.
Matt, your thoughts on LeBron making an epic move buying into the ownership of the Boston Red Sox?
Well, I mean, it's a great investment. The Boston Red Sox is, you know, they're legendary. It is funny, though, because, yeah, just what what Sirius was saying, he's always talking smack about the Celtics. So most fans, I mean, I'm assuming Celtics fans don't, Boston fans don't really like him very much, which is kind of funny, you know. That he chose to go, you know, to his team's biggest team or his team's rival. But I mean, you know, so I live in Aspen, and LeBron, I have a funny story about LeBron James. He's got a house in Aspen, and he actually dug down 5 or 6 stories, floors in his house to put a basketball court down there, which is way against Aspen rules. But, we somehow made an exception for LeBron James. So he's, you know, he's got fans everywhere. And, you know, you never know. I mean, it could bring more fans that didn't initially like Boston Red Sox to start liking them from the West Coast, or, you know, I mean, you name it. So, I mean, it's great investment. You know, I don't see the Boston Red Sox losing value anytime soon. I mean, they're a great team. Fenway, legendary. So, I mean, more power to him. I think it's a great thing, you know. And I like the infusion of sports. It keeps you know, fans that wouldn't necessarily be fans to be fans. So, yeah, I think it's a great thing.
Okay, and Barry, you brought this up. I mean, your thoughts on your rival, the Boston Red Sox, being tied into LeBron James as in ownership.
I mean, it's perfectly fitting, TP, because it's two people that the villain can't stand, LeBron James and the Boston Red Sox and their fans. Shout out to all of my college roommates back in the day, still Red Sox fans. I can't stand you. Love you, but I can't stand you. He's not a Yankee fan, okay? Let's just be clear. I mean, he only likes the logo. I mean, he's not a real Yankee fan like myself. You know, Yankee fans like myself wouldn't, you know, submit ourselves to rule the subjugation to the Red Sox Nation or whatever they want to call themselves. Or I don't even know what they call themselves up there. But no, it's all jokes. It's all fun. It's a great move for him to get into an organization that, you know, hasn't really had that kind of diversity, showing the power that he wields. Not only for himself, but also getting his friends into, you know, into the mix and getting them some ownership as well, or as investment partners. So, you know, he's moving himself in that direction. You know, he has a legacy that is unmatched only by Michael Jordan, and Michael Jordan paved the way for a guy like LeBron to have. Nobody was thinking while they're playing, while they're trying to win championships and surmount themselves as one of the greats of all time, like, hey, I can have outside ventures and be a business too. Like, Michael Jordan had his shoe, but he didn't own a team while he was playing. You know, Michael Jordan now, you know, owns the team. He's a majority owner. But LeBron has ownership of the team in baseball and in soccer and in NASCAR. And he's still playing in the league at a high level, one of the guys that's on the short list of MVP candidates. So it's a great look for him. He's paving the way for people. You know, everything that he does on the court is only overshadowed by the stuff he does off the court, like what Sirius said with it, you know, philanthropy, paying for kids to go to school, his social justice work, all that stuff. And now with this owning a team, he's making a case in making himself stand out among the pack as that guy that people want to kind of model themselves after. You know, he has the movie Space Jam. He has a production company. I mean, what doesn't this guy do? Only thing he doesn't have is, you know, that cover up on the back of his head. I'm just kidding. But now he's doing big things, man. You got to give him props. He's making moves, man. He's making moves, and you gotta tip your cap.
I just want to know if this actually helps the situation that's been around that city of Boston for quite some time in all sports. And I've been dealing with some pro athletes for the past 4 or 5 days in direct contact and talking to them, and how a lot of them won't go to the city of Boston, whether by trade or anything. They're trying to stay away from there. And the last case is Kyrie Irving, who basically left immediately, not only with the aura of the city of Boston, but also having his ins and outs with the organization and the coach too. So, you know, hopefully this could actually turn things around in that Boston area. I mean, it's been there for decades, if not centuries, but this is a start, and who would ever thought that LeBron would actually invest into a baseball team, which he didn't really strongly have a liking for, but the opening was there. And this guy has been monumental to the path of trying to shed light on all aspects through sports, all aspects through people, to try to turn things around. So this is a discussion I had within this week also. So, and this is before the signing for LeBron. So just talking about the city of Boston and minorities alike and how they don't really like to stay up there.
You bring up a great point, TP, because that's something that I going to school up in that area, you and I both kind of went up into the New England area. We kind of seen it, and a lot of people don't really understand what we're talking about. But, I mean, it's not a racially divided city, but it's weird. It's like there is no gray. There is that line up there, and you know, it's not for everybody. Like Kyrie Irving and some other athletes, you know, some people can stick it out. You know, and there is a lot of good. There's a lot of Hispanic. There's a nice Hispanic culture up in Massachusetts, in the Boston area too. So, you know, there's that mix. And, hopefully LeBron can kind of bring some change to that. Because, like, I have a nephew, I've told you before, that's a Boston fan, Red Sox fan. I don't know why. I pray for him every day. You know, God answers prayer. So I'm praying for him every day that he, you know, comes back to the light and comes back to the Yankees. But, you know, it is a cultural thing up there. It's a little different and it's not for everybody, but, it's, you know, I hope he can kind of, you know, be a face in that organization, not just a little piece that a silent partner that nobody hears about, you know?
And by the way, it's still pending Major League Baseball approval.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, he has the money to make it happen. I wonder if the MLB stops him, because then there'd be a whole other scenario around it. So then even more of what we're talking about, will be put to the forefront. So whoever it may be, whether it's the commissioner or the owners, this is interesting to see what type of ball you guys would like to play.
Yeah, you're right, TP. I think it's the owners that have to vote on it, and I think it's a unanimous approval, TP. I could be wrong. I think you're right, though, that it's in the owners' court. And to steal from the ground, pity the fool that shuts out LeBron in Boston, because you're right. It'll be a hellstorm if this news comes out and then he doesn't get voted in. Like, it's going to be ugly.
Man,
yeah, that's interesting. Him being an active player, I wonder if that goes into any of the voting, you know, if that's a protocol that he's an active player in a different league. I wonder if that's going to affect his chances.
I don't think so, because as long as he's not trying to purchase and own an NBA team, right now, I think he can do whatever he wants. Keep in mind, when Kobe was alive, may he rest in peace, he had, you know, ownership stake in the soccer, and I think it was soccer and tennis, if I remember correctly, but I know it was definitely soccer. So
yeah,
as long as you're not an active player in the league, you're trying to quote unquote join or purchase or do business with, I think you're good.
Like I said, money attracts money. I don't think they could deny what LeBron brings to the table from all of the money that he's been able to accumulate in his sport playing life. This could be monumental that you actually see an African-American player playing sports at this point in time to own a team as big as the Boston Red Sox. But, you know, the friends that they have, the powers that be, may hold it against them. I want to see the change, man, because we're at a different temperature in America, and enough is enough of people just doing it just because they want to wall people off. Money attracts money.
Exactly.
Period. If he's able to spend it and be able to bring it to the table, then he'd do so.
Everybody is equally. It's time for this madness to stop. Everybody is the same. People need to realize that and stop living their life as a color. Like Michael Jackson said in this song, back in the day, he's like, I'm not going to spend my life living a color. And that's what we need to do as a society now. There was never room for it, but now especially, this is ridiculous.
Speaking of baseball, guys, you guys want to talk about the nightmares, what's happening in the Colorado Rockies ball club? I mean, for crying out loud, I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but, we got rid of Nolan Arenado. We paid money, $50 million, I think he went to the Rangers or something like that. We paid to get rid of our best – or the Cardinals, right, the Cardinals, yeah.
The Cardinals.
They couldn't afford him.
They were looking to trade him as soon as they signed the contract. They were looking to trade Arenado as soon as they signed that because they knew they couldn't afford him.
And the sad thing
so
is
was, that was bad business
for,
by the Colorado Rockies. Huh?
Yeah, and the sad thing is they just extended him to a 5-year contract. They got rid of David Dahl. They got rid of Arenado. This is a team that was on the rise, and now they just decimated it. And Charlie Blackman now has voiced his opinion, and he wants out of town too. So Monfort is a horrible owner. Yeah, horrible owner. They were mocking him. There was memes going around of, here, the art of the deal, like getting rid of your best player, one of the best third basemen in all of baseball, and you're going to trade him and get peanuts back and pay the team $50 million. Great.
But what was the, I mean, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but what's the gate like in Colorado? Do they sell out?
Yeah, you know, the Rockies, they have a really good fan base. Coors Field is a real beautiful ballpark, one of the best. You know, I've been to a lot of ballparks, want to get out to Yankee Stadium and stuff like that. But it's one of the better ballparks in baseball. So,
But do they sell out consistently? Like, okay.
The owners think. Because fans here are furious. They're furious. They're going to be lucky if they're getting 8,000 fans in there.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
listen,
every single
there's no reason to get rid of Arenado. It's a steal for the Cardinals. I kind of blogged about it that, you know, basically, hey, you know, they got him for pennies on the dollar and got the player that they needed because they were desperately needing a star player to replace some of the stars that they had lost to age and stuff. But Colorado, I mean, what are you doing? It's just not good business.
And they could have got a big prospect back from the Cardinals, Luke Bryan, one of their top, and they did. They passed on that and got some other no-name guys, and a bunch of – they got, like, a few no-name guys. I would have went after Goldschmidt. I would have – I mean, that's another deal like a Deshaun Watson. You could get, a half a team back for this guy, and you got nothing, and you paid $50 million on top of that. Just mind-boggling.
Yeah, paid $50 million for him to crush your team throughout the year. So yeah sorry.
The worst trade in professional history, and that is the worst trade ever made.
No.
Ever made.
It's definitely okay. Yep.
Power103Radio.com. You are with the Sports City Chef at the cookout. Any other topic that we would like to throw out on the grill? Anybody?
Yo, I did have one I wanted to talk about. We are on the cusp of the NCAA tournament and for both the men and women's side. And unfortunately, COVID is causing a couple of key players and coaches to miss, one of which is Oklahoma guard De'Veon Harmon, who arguably is one of the best guards in this tournament, is going to miss at least the first two games of the tournament due to COVID-19. My question and where I want to take this is here. You know, it's unfortunate that, you know, we still have young men and, you know, young women who are still being, you know, impacted by this virus. Should there even be a tournament? You know what I'm saying? Like, we've seen, you know, officials, I read a report today that a couple of officials have been sent home. I was on the side that there shouldn't have been an all-star game, you know, and again, I can hear, you know, the retort, you know, people in the back of my mind saying, well, if there's not a tournament, there shouldn't have been a season and this, that, and the third. But, you know, we got Gino Armiyama from the UConn Huskies not being able to coach their ball club. We got, you know, players and officials missing games and having to isolate and quarantine. This is going to be a major thing throughout the tournament here. And I think it could possibly derail a team's hopes of, you know, winning the championship, man. I want to see how you guys feel about this COVID-19 continuing to impact
some big names as we get ready to pop the top on this NCAA tournament.
Okay, I'll come to you first on this one, Matt. Do you think the tournament should be played or not?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And Liberty's my sweeper team, by the way. I think, you know, if I'm as good as predicting the Super Bowl as I am at March Madness, I'm going with Liberty. But, yes, absolutely. Let the fans back in. You know, think about this, guys. We shut down the entire world, and everyone still got COVID. You know, we should have just not shut down at all. We need to bring the fans back in. Yes, but I mean that's a no-brainer. You know, March Madness is the most exciting time in like pretty much all of sports, and we need the momentum. We need the energy. So absolutely, bring them back. You know, and see, I mean, my whole thing with this whole COVID kicking a dead horse thing is we shut the whole world down, and everybody still got it. Okay. We should have just kept it open, and you know. So, if you want my opinion, it was, and always will be. It's a bunch of nonsense. You can absolutely start letting people in. Like the Rockies are letting in, I believe 21,000 fans, which is about 40% of the capacity. So here in the mountains in the Rockies, we're getting on board, and we're starting to loosen the, you know, the regulations and stuff, and we absolutely should. It's been a year, guys. I mean, we need to get our lives back, you know. And I don't know what you guys' stance on this whole COVID thing is, but my short answer, yes, absolutely, let them back in.
Hey, how do you feel about this series? Barry. I'll come to you, Barry. Your thoughts on this one? On how the tournament should be played or not? Do you think that this is an effective move, or should they be cautious? All these different colleges, different cities, different scenarios. I mean, your thoughts.
I mean, they're being as cautious as possible, TP. I mean, you know, they're in a bubble. They're playing in Indianapolis. Everybody is there. They're doing the tracing and all that stuff. So Harmon got it, but no, there was tracing and nobody else was around him, so he's the only one affected. I mean, I disagree with Matt completely on opening up the world. I mean, listen, and not everybody got it. I didn't get it. You know, we tried to shut down the world to contain it. We tried to shut down the world to contain it, and nobody took it as seriously because you had idiots not going around taking precautions with masks and everything. So I think that was more of the problem, that people got COVID. Not everybody got it. People died. It's serious. It's still going on. I don't care if it's been a year or 2 years, still going on. I have family members that got COVID. I got, you know, people I know that, you know, are very sick from it. So, I mean, just opening up just to get the world, the engine back going, I'm not even going to get into that. I just got to put that out there. But listen, NCAA tournament-wise, they're doing as much as they possibly can to keep it safe, to keep it everybody, you know, safe down there with the tracing and everything. I think that the pro teams have done a pretty good job as best as they possibly can with the way that they're, you know, testing people and keeping I guess they have like the watches or whatever to keep everybody as safe as possible. So, you know, hopefully the tournament goes on. If teams have to pull out, you know, they have backup teams, but I think it was until tomorrow that if a team had to pull out, then they were going to pull out. So they're doing everything they can. So they didn't have the tournament last year. They want to get the tournament going this year. And it's a great time to have March Madness. So let's go.
Okay, Eric, your thoughts on the situation with the, you know, the tournament right around the corner? Well, actually, in 2 days, do you think it should be played with all of the contact tracing and the height of the pandemic?
Absolutely it should. And, you know, I'm not going to go too much into it. I did on the other show, and I, you know, voiced my opinion on COVID. But, yeah, absolutely. It's good to see baseball, you know, spring training. They're allowing fans back in. They're talking about having the fans back by the time the season starts. The Lakers announced that they're going to allow fans back in the Staples Center come playoff time. So, it is time, you know. Granted, yeah, people are getting sick, but like I said earlier, tuberculosis has already killed 1.3 million Americans, far more than the coronavirus had. You know, I know a lot of people that had it as well. Me and my girlfriend's family had it. So it's serious if you have some underlying conditions. But the main thing is, it's time. We're America. We can't live in fear. It's time to open it back up. These sports are a lot of our outlet. You know, it's a huge part of our culture. It's a huge part of our life. And the fans are the lifeblood. So, you know, yeah, let them come back. If they got to wear masks and stuff like that, so be it. But it's time to start opening up. We've been on lockdown for over a year now. It's time, gentlemen. It really is. We can't live our lives in fear from a virus when there's so many of them out there and so many other ones that aren't getting talked about. You know, the flu kills more than the coronavirus has each year. So it is what it is. I'm going to say in like serious, we touched on that. There is, and timeless as well, there's a political agenda. There's a hidden agenda behind this virus. So, but it's time. And for March Madness to be shut down last year, just playing the games will be great. They have precautions in line they're following. So, I'm excited to see it. It's going to be fun. We need to get our brackets going and have fun with it, gentlemen.
So, Sirius, your thoughts on everything? I mean, from hearing the responses here, your thoughts?
You know, gentlemen, my position is this. I understand that, you know, there are precautions in place. I understand that. And, I do agree with Evie, man. I don't think we should live in fear, but I don't think we should live stupidly neither. You know, this is something that, unfortunately, you know, it's better than it was a year ago. However, I still think we have a long way to go. With that being said, I don't know how I honestly feel about a tournament, you know, of this magnitude. Everybody's kind of congregating in one location and, you know, maneuvering in different cities. And, you know, I'm not too sure how I feel about that. With that being said, I do hope and pray that everybody is safe, that no teams and nobody, you know, loses life or, you know, get stricken down by this thing. I do hope that everybody's able to maneuver and go on, you know, and not be affected. I think the biggest thing that we need to understand is that, again, we're a lot farther than we were, but we still have a long way to go.
I'm in between. Like, I like the safety protocol that they have, but, you know, fans are going to try and get into those arenas as best as possible. I just want to see how they can actually, like, have the attendance to a certain percentage and things of that nature and don't have these kids get involved and get, you know, caught up in getting sick and then having to do something like what Duke had to go through also. Duke had to pull out and be safe as possible. This is the first year that we see a tournament without Coach K within the past, like, 25, 26 years. So hopefully they follow the protocol the right way as well. I just want everybody to be safe. I care less on how people feel because they want to open things up. People start dying around you and you know them, you can't get them back. And I've lost far too many people in the year 2020 that has me ravaged thinking about them today. One topic before we close out, because we do have 7 minutes left into the show, 929-477-2759. On the retirement of Drew Brees. I want to get your guys' thoughts and standpoints and also a plug and close out as we get out of here from the cookout. Matt, I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on Drew Brees and his retirement, if you have any memory of Drew Brees, whether it may have been anything. I don't even want to mention him. I don't want to take anything away from anybody. And Matt, you talk about the retirement and, you know, his memory. Just give me a plug, close out, anything that you'd like to shout out as well. Shout out to Power103Radio.com also.
Yeah, I mean, being a Bronco fan all my life, you know, I followed Drew Brees just because, you know, he's on the opposite end of the spectrum and, you know, the NFC versus the AFC. But, you know, I love Drew Brees, you know, like he's a legend. You know, he he brought back the morale when Katrina hit. He's a Christian guy, good morals, family man, and he's one of the best players to ever play the game. So I'm definitely disappointed. I thought he had another couple years in him, to be honest, and that's kind of news to me. But big shout out to Drew Brees. He's one heck of a guy, and I'm definitely a fan. So you will be missed for sure.
And anything that you like to plug or close out with as well?
Yeah, I'd like to just shout out to Easy and I's radio mm-hmm. show. Eric, the Underground Sports Connection. Google it. Check us out. We will blow your mind with the topics that we talk about in sports. We talk about what's going on in the backdrop of sports, and not just the stats, not just the the everyday run of the mill stuff. We talk about some really, really interesting issues. So I encourage everyone to check out the Underground Sports Connection with Matt Nasty Fresh and the Big Easy E, my good friend Eric, and shout out to all the fans that have supported us throughout this past year. And Sports City stuff. And I'm a big fan of your TP. I love what you do. Thank you so much, for this, just to talk to you. I've been a listener of you for years, man. And I love you, bro. And keep it up, dude.
Flowers. Thank you. We'll come around more often too, man. I've been trying to get E to put this connection together, so we finally got a meet here. But we'll talk and definitely try to make the connection off here, also see what we can do. E, you already know what to do. Your thoughts on Drew Brees' retirement, a vivid memory of his career, and, a closeout.
My vivid memory, I could go on. There's a lot of them, cool Brees. But when he got the all-time passing touchdown record, that was special. And he's definitely one of the best to ever do it. A great career, nothing to be ashamed of. They went to the playoffs this year and had a decent run, lost to the Buccaneers. So, no shame there. Looks like Jameis Winston time in New Orleans. We'll see what happens there if he's going to get a shot to, rejuvenate his career and maybe things will change there with Sean Payton. But great career. Hats off to Drew Brees. Congratulations on a great career. And wish him all the best in his retirement. And, one of the best to ever do it, folks. So, Drew Brees is gone, and Winston time in New Orleans. And you already know, all my brothers, love and respect for all of you. Good show tonight. Shout out to Power103Radio.com. Shout out to SportsCityChefs.com, Blog Talk Radio. Check us out. We got all the blogs, the merchandise, the new merchandise, folks. Get your coffee cups, your hoodies, your shirts to represent. Show some love. Thank you all to the listeners out there and all the supporters. God bless y'all.
All right, definitely. All right, Sirius, I need your vividest Breeze moment, also on his retirement, and plug, closeout, shout-out.
Yeah. Man, honestly, man, I think my favorite Drew Brees moment was on a Monday Night Football when he broke the record against the Washington football team at home. It was something to see. When he was on, Drew Brees was arguably one of the best quarterbacks to play the game when he was on. He's a guy who came out of Purdue. He was undersized. He was counted out. He was left for dead, forgotten, luck weren't. Let me stop. But at the end of the day, this guy here really solidified what it means to be a winner. And I appreciate that from him. This is a guy who was far from perfect. He's made his mistakes. He said his things, he's a tremendous story on how to come back after a fall.
how to do the right thing and how to embody what it means to be one with your city. So salute to him for that. Can't wait to see how he does with his next venture as an NBC guy. I want to hear him talk. I want to hear how he does. So salute to him for that. And with that being said, man, it's your boy Sirius repping that 412 and the 703. Man, such a pleasure to be here with you guys on another edition of Sports City Chefs. Shout out to all those who have been rocking with us, all the new guys who are coming on board and you know, listening to us and calling in. Shout out to my man, Matt, for checking us out, man. Hope to hear back more from him soon. Like my man Evie said, check out the blogs, the merchandise. Got some stuff in the works to hopefully be rolling out sometime in the spring, so definitely be on the lookout for that. Shout out to all those who are working behind the scenes to make what we do here on the air so flawless and so important. And with that being said, I will catch you guys later, man. Y'all be good.
And speaking of which, Sirius just said that about all of new people trying to come along. I'm just now getting an email from the hockey show that wants to come back. So a lot of stuff is happening. Mine is he's literally while he was talking, trying to get this to go around and fill up as much as possible for City. My head is spinning personally, but it's good to get that good feel and vibe around the kitchen and outside here in the cookout, man. I love every last bit of it, man, and build some strong connections between you guys, and especially with my brother, even though we go back and forth almost every day, and he's fighting me like crazy behind the scenes in a good way, even though he's a villain here. Barry, give me your thoughts on Drew's retirement, any vivid memory, and a plug and closeout also.
Hockey? No, I'm kidding. It's probably because the Rangers are winning like 9-0 right now. That's probably why people want to get back in that dog, right?
I didn't want to do that now. I wanted to get that in.
But no, listen, Drew Brees, one of the greats. He's top 10 all the time. Not in my top 5, but definitely top 10. We can debate that on another show, probably on a Sunday. I'll come in with ETP. We got to definitely debate that. But my memory of Drew Brees, man, that 6-touchdown game against the Giants, him and Eli Manning going back and forth, that was a fun game to watch. Seeing him, I think he had 6-7 touchdowns. I don't even know. It was just a fun game watching them two go back and forth. So that's what I remember him. 6-foot-0, gunslinger, and can really just put the ball anywhere he wanted to. He was something special. But listen, Power 103 Radio. Thanks for rocking with us, doing big things with them. We got meetings with those folks. They love what we do. We love working with them. Get to the website, read the blogs. We're going to be blogging more. I promise you, got the baseball buffet coming soon. That'll be talking some baseball with some of our new crew members that are coming through, Dave and Nate. So look out for that. I guess the hockey show, get to the site, get the merchandise. I got my sweaters. I got my coffee mugs and everything. We're doing big things, man. Love you, TP. I love working with you. And just keeping going on with it upward, man. Villain, I'm out.
Just like the villain said, I was waiting until everybody got their clothes out. I'm happy as heck that my Rangers just won this game 9-0. I've never seen a hockey score blowout shutout like this in a while. 9-0. I've seen the score, and it was the end of the first period they had that score. And I follow somebody that is a Flyers fan, and he was just going absolutely off. I'm up here listening to it in one ear while we're going at it here and just wanted to hear him rant. But hopefully they could turn this thing around, Blue Shorts, Underground. You already know how I feel about y'all. Drew Brees' memory, I got to say, when he won the Super Bowl and he was holding his son grabbed one of the confetti pieces and just remembering that vibe. And now looking at how he retired, he had his three sons and his daughter basically mention their retirement. So Drew, one of the more memorable guys. I mean, he has some bad stuff attached to him. Another bad memory I have with him, and I can never forget this bad memory. This is a bad one, Drew. He says, "Hike." He drops back about 4 steps. He throws the ball so ever so softly to the right, flat, and Reggie Bush is underneath it. Comes Sheldon Brown, cornerback of the Philadelphia Eagles, and he takes Reggie Bush's life out of his body. Like literally I was looking at that. I blame Drew for every last ounce of that hit because there's no way you leave this 5'10" receiver or running back, excuse me, twinkle toeing his way to try to get the ball in his corner, just sitting there waiting for it. And when Reggie tried to come through, he was crawling. He crawled about like 6 yards, like trying to just get his stuff together. And I could not forgive Drew Brees for that one. I was like, man, come on. Like, and I love Reggie. Like, just how memorable he was at USC and then doing what he was able to do at New Orleans. And, of course, just like I said, ultimately winning a Super Bowl. Drew, you actually brought back life to a city that I do love, like, personally. I've never even been here, and I love the city of New Orleans just because of the mystique. And I love jazz. I love music. And my brother been down. He's like, Ty, you go. You would love New Orleans. You got to get down there. So for him to turn that thing around and lead them in his charge when he says, let's win, and he says again, and they start going crazy, saying again with him, monumental player, Drew. I tip my hat to you. Power103radio.com, sportscitychefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We will be back here Saturday with the college campus tailgate with some of these games that will be taking place in the brackets already going down. I wanted to start a bracket here in Sports City, but I don't know if we'll be able to get it done. And, yeah, we got shows coming. So if you're into baseball, that's coming. Hockey's going to probably be coming. I probably have some new chefs as well, along with me in the brunch on Sundays too. I got some more people coming. So Sports City, thank y'all for everybody from the bottom of my heart. And I thank Matt for the special coming and special shout-out to we'll be talking, man. We'll be trying to get some stuff done as best as we possibly can. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City.